me get this started. All right, good evening and welcome to the August 8th, 2022 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. I'd like to call it to order. And we will start with a roll call.
Ms. Savage.
Here.
Mr. Smith. Here. Ms. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Keck.
Here.
Mr. Ferguson.
Here.
All right. Perfect.
Perfect.
Thank you all for being here tonight. Glad you made it. No, that's okay. It's challenging.
One day.
I know, yeah. So our agenda tonight, we're going to do the self-evaluation of the 2021-2022 work plan. Obviously, Bill and Jermaine, you weren't a part of setting this up, but, you know, input, comments are always welcome. Then we'll move into discuss the superintendent and treasurer goals. I had a chance to talk to Diane a little bit about that tonight, so I've got a better understanding of a few things. I haven't had a chance to talk with Todd, and then we'll end up with starting some discussions on our work plan for the 2022-2023 school year. And then I just have a few extra kind of reminder notes at the end, so don't let me forget that, okay?
Madam President,
yes.
I move that we adopt our agenda.
Thank you. Motion to adopt the agenda, motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Keck. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? Yes. Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. No, that really wasn't on the agenda, but it's a good idea to do that. So now we'll just move into our self-evaluation of the 2021-2022 work plan. I sent that out. I don't know if you've had much of a chance to look it over. I thought we would start with the very first one. If anybody has comments,
I think it might be a good idea to take two steps back.
Sure.
And kind of talk about
how we develop it.
Yeah, and
sure.
Kind of how it started and kind of the purpose of it.
So sounds good.
Background information might
yep.
be helpful.
Okay, so I would say, I know we had one. So I was looking on our district website, and we are not current with what's on the district website. So I sent the current one to Donna to try and get that on there. Let me come back to, I'll look and see how long we've been doing this. Here we go. Board goals and work plan. Okay, so Ashley, in 2014, the 2014-15 school year is when we started this, and I think that really was aligned with that first strategic plan after Diane came. I think that had been approved in the spring of 2013. Mm-hmm. So the board just felt that it was important that we show that we really were in line with or aligned to the strategic plan. And so this work plan, we set it up to cover the four areas of student performance, financial stability, safety, and community partnerships. And just kind of outlined what we felt our role was and how we could help support the work of the district.
And I think also at that time, at least in my mind, we were being much more intentional about goal setting, and
as a district
throughout the district,
right?
The superintendent,
right.
On down through the administrators, principals, into mm-hmm. the teachers, and so mm-hmm. forth. And there was a real focus on trying to tie the goals to the innovate, collaborate, inspire. That the district had adopted at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And in asking others to set goals and work for goals, it made sense, I thought, that we set goals for the board and that we discuss what those goals are. And I think at that time we were very careful to make sure that our goals were these very broad, overarching items, and that our work plan then were things which might be more specific, but still making sure that there was plenty of opportunity and plenty of avenues in order to try to achieve some or all of a particular goal.
And I think kind of to follow up with that is, again, just that idea of, I think it helped to explain really what our role was. You know, it's like we're not in here, you know, we're not going to figure out what the curriculum is or something like that. But as a board, we're going to support professional development for our staff, as an example. You know, we're going to support those kinds of things that will allow the work of the district to take place. Again, that's aligned to the strategic plan. So, you know, some people might, oh, this, you know, there's not a lot of stuff in there, but I think just like I pull up here in student performance, overseeing the finances in both permanent improvement and operations in a manner that allows our district administration to provide meaningful professional development, hire and retain qualified staff, and provide resources for student performance. So we're not actually doing those things, but we're we're responsible for making sure that we're in the position where our leadership can do those kinds of things. And then even, you know, like in got to support and promote innovation and collaboration, we're going to network with others at OSBA. So by doing that, you come up with some maybe innovative ideas to share with Diane or Todd. So anyways, that was the reasoning behind setting up this work plan. And so every year we've gone in and made a few tweaks. Obviously with COVID, we've added some, when COVID came, we added some things to safety about, you know, making sure that we were supporting our continued partnership with the county district health department or with the county health department, things like that. And really, in the past, we have had a few that had a targeted completion date, but generally, as we've moved on, we realized that a lot of the things that we've listed in here are just ongoing goals. So, that seemed to cover it. Do you have anything to add, Nan?
No, just that they're definitely umbrella-type goals.
Yeah.
And we are free to develop our, you know, own specific areas of interest and develop knowledge in those areas.
Yep. I think, and we also, you know, had some of these, had some statements, too, that we wanted to include on some of these pages about how, at the very front, how we feel strongly that communication is an integral part of every area of implementation. We're always going to strive to clearly communicate the goals and work of the district. And then had some notes on the bottom, like for student achievement, saying that a lot of the building notes that we get every month, that gives us some information about professional development. And then the building presentations also gives us more information about things, how things are being handled and how things are moving along in our district. So, any questions, Jermaine or Bill? Do you have any questions?
No, I read them.
Okay.
They look good.
Okay.
Do you guys do you see the notes on the agenda for each meeting?
Oh, yeah, the building notes?
The building notes. It's usually a pretty big packet. Well, not during the summer, but once you get back into school, it's a pretty big packet, probably 14, 15 pages.
Yeah.
Each school has at least one page of notes and stuff that's specifically going on at the school. So that's actually good to just get a general idea, especially if there's elementary schools that you're not necessarily affiliated with and you know, don't know the teachers at that school, it helps you understand, you know, just generally what's going on. Oftentimes it brings up questions that you can bring forward. Hey, what do you know about this? Or,
with the building that's earlier in the year, I wondered if we could. I like how every individual building kind of carries their own, mm-hmm. but if we could somehow like kind of, I don't want to over-templatize it, but making sure like, because there is a template. Like I understand they're mm-hmm. going off the strategic direction plan, mm-hmm. but some buildings go. I will give you a lot of information, which is great. I like mm-hmm. more information than some. It's very like
streamlined right.
information. So mm-hmm. like trying to figure out like. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to kind of either help the buildings that maybe prepare too much? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say don't tell me everything, but mm-hmm. How do we get like something that's kind of, I hate to use the word standardizing here, yeah. but more like here's what the board needs to know from every building, mm-hmm. and checking mm-hmm. all those boxes, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's too rigid, but
it's up to the principal.
It is kind of personalized.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what's provided reflects the personality of the principal that's mm-hmm. putting it together. So, I don't know, I would think they'd be offended, actually, if you give them a template and say, fill this out.
Well, they did make a change this last year. I can't remember if it was halfway through or not. Where they started out with celebration, you know, because they've always been told, you know, let report on the four areas of the strategic plan. But then this year they added a celebration section, and then sometimes some buildings will give you a complete report in every of the areas, and other buildings would say, you know what, I don't have a lot to report in this area, so I'm going to focus on. I mean, I don't think they've ever not focused on student achievement, but maybe they don't include. Financial stability or something, you know, like if they haven't really done anything there, I don't think, you know, can certainly say something to Diane and just say, hey, you know, encourage the building principals to just, I don't know, try and, if she asks them to report in those four areas and say, okay, you know, put a couple sentences in there, and if you don't have much to share, you know, you can even say, you know, no report in this area or something. I don't know. I mean, I think it is kind of hard to try and get them to all be the same, other than the fact that they're already kind of focusing on those four areas.
Yeah. I've kind of thought that mm-hmm. it was following through with Diane delegating responsibility. Here's a report. Here are the four areas that you need to talk about, and add a point of pride, something that's going on in your building that you think is important, and then let each principal figure out
how much they want to put in there, what kinds of things they want to put in there.
And they feel it's important for us to have more detail. Maybe the personality of the individual is, I'm going to be brief and sparse with words, mm-hmm. And somebody else is going to be more
detailed,
extemporaneous in terms mm-hmm. of how they present things. Mm-hmm. But I guess for me, as I read through them, I think I kind of enjoy some of the differences mm-hmm. in the way that the information is presented. But mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, we can mention something to Diane and say, hey.
Well, like if there's a certain month,
it sounds like if that's not like everyone's all right with what we're getting. I didn't, you have like a half a page for one building and then you have like three pages for another building.
Sure,
like,
right.
Well,
right.
You know, I just, that was a question I had, no real reason why one should go one direction or the other. Just. Yeah. It was just, hey, should these be more kind of uniformed in at least the detail or the... Mm-hmm. And then I did take another look, and I was like, well, they are hitting these...
Yeah, the four areas.
The four areas, but then, right. I guess the buildings... And I'll just rest on that, because that was kind of how I arrived.
Yeah.
Should we talk about this as a board? Like, are we getting too much information, too little, or how... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was all. So.
And I think, too, you know, like the longer you're on the board, too, it, when we do some building visits as well, mm-hmm. I think, like, all of it just starts kind of accumulating, and you have your comfort level with the different buildings, and when you're, you know, when you're doing a building visit, you can say, oh, yeah, I remember your building report. Can you explain this a little bit more? Or, mm-hmm. you know, ask a question during the building visit, I think, too. But
I don't want to do anything to tamp down their enthusiasm.
I know. Oh, I know, yeah, yes.
It's their one chance to kind of show off.
Yes.
Right.
You know, what they're
right.
doing with their students. You know,
yeah.
I was working more with
like the little, yes, right, right. You like, yeah. You'd be fine to have more, yes.
I was more
versus
yeah,
less.
Not like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And I learned not to. I one time I submitted a bunch of questions about what building report because there was a bunch of acronyms and stuff I didn't know.
Oh yeah, right.
I was like,
all right,
maybe I shouldn't.
No.
<do that.
laughs> No, those acronyms are always fun, aren't they? Okay. All right, so kind of gone over the background of this work plan. Are we good right now to just go ahead and go through each page? And if something jumps out at you, otherwise, just kind of assume that you know, that we've done what we said we were going to try and do. So we can start with the goal one, student performance, and our objective was to ensure excellence in instruction for every student. You know, and I guess when I look through those, I feel like we were supportive. I think we got lots of different reports during the year to help us feel confident that the kinds of things that needed to happen were happening. Any comments on this one?
No, I think that it was a very tough year
mm-hmm.
for every year. I've heard that from every
oh,
teacher
yeah.
I've spoken to.
Yep. Yep.
Regardless of district, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody really did the best they could do last year under
mm-hmm.
some trying circumstances, and hopefully things will be at a good starting place this year.
Yeah.
And we can kind of do the reset and get back to what we know how to do.
Right. Okay, then, the goal one, objective B, maximize the impact of the board on student achievement by focusing on board development. This one, I give ourselves a 5 stars because we got the Boards of Distinction Award, you know, which I think clearly mm-hmm. showed our commitment to board development.
Yeah.
We attended lots of OSBA programs. I think we also, you know, I think we've tried to be a little more intentional in supporting different resolutions that impact public education. One area that I do feel like we could improve upon is to review, revise, and develop, well, not review, revise, and develop policies that are aligned to the district strategic plan, but really just more kind of our board policy. So let's scratch that comment because it really doesn't fit here. But put a star next to the research legislative issues and actively advocate lobby in support of our district. Our legislative liaison, Mr. Smith, goes way above and beyond, and I know Nan had gone with him to some things too, so I feel like we're really strong in that area.
Things aren't necessarily going the way we want. But
that's right, but they hear us. They hear us, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, did the other school boards in Union County meet with the legislative representatives?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, any other comments on this one? Okay. Another goal one, objective C, support and promote innovation and collaboration. So again, it's just that whole idea of networking at conferences and within our own community, and I think about what was that? What Success Bound? You know, I think Success Bound was a really neat program that was talking about internships and preparing students for a successful future. And then Marysville Business Association does a networking meeting, and I did that and, you know, got some names for partnerships and things like that. And I just think between community coffees and right. all sorts of other things, we do a good job of trying
one
to
thing
innovate it.
That maybe not for this year,
mm-hmm.
but maybe for next year
mm-hmm.
when we go over this, the consortium of state school board associations.
Right. The new national, the or new group that
right,
OSBA
the new
is,
national
yes.
group mm-hmm. that Ohio has joined.
Right.
Instead of the National School Board Association.
Right.
They, at this point, it seems like there are more open opportunities
mm-hmm.
for members of the school board or for people from our district to be able to go to national, or maybe there may be some regional type conferences and so forth. And so when we talk about networking within OSBA,
mm-hmm.
It's OSSA, the Organization of State School Board Associations,
okay.
I think is what the title is.
Mm-hmm.
And but that that may be something that we could look at
mm-hmm.
As an additional area where we could go. Because I know they've got a meeting in Atlanta where school board, I think all of us got an invitation to that. On the 18th, there's a webinar on legislative issues and so forth mm-hmm. on the federal level
mm-hmm.
That's going to be done. So there may be, again, some opportunities for us to kind of expand our networking.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think at this point there's enough that we know about it
mm-hmm.
and the opportunities to really list it within our goals or in our work plan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on. Goal 2, financial stability. Our objective A was to monitor the district's comprehensive financial plan. Studying the 5-year forecast, permanent improvement bond forecast, being aware of potential levy needs. So, I think thanks to, in part, to Todd and his excellent work in keeping us updated on things, I feel like we're very aware of those mm-hmm. things. So,
yeah. I think for me, I know when our bonds are going to be paid
mm-hmm.
off
mm-hmm.
in 29. I know when we're going to have to ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the permanent improvement fund is funded for
yeah.
the foreseeable future
is,
on out.
Right.
And that has always given me a very comfortable feeling mm-hmm. that I don't anticipate surprises.
Mm-hmm. Right. And please feel free to chime in, anybody, okay? This work session, so.
Yeah. And then, well, I think clearly the operating levy for 2023
yeah.
is going to be big on our upcoming
yes.
work plan.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay, next objective in that goal number 2 is to communicate the overall financial status of the district. It says that we promote continuous transparent communication, utilizing board meetings, community involvement, district newsletters, support communications and lobbying efforts for legislative issues, research new opportunities for communication throughout the year. I think we definitely promote that. And I had felt like we try and do a better job during the meetings as well, you know, whether it's Todd's presentation or just questions, pointing things out, mm-hmm. reminding, you know, our public how school finances work at a high level.
Yeah. Again, I think this is something that we're going to have to continue to put a lot of emphasis on. We can say it 100 times,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's going to take 101 before somebody actually hears it. So.
Right.
We're always looking for new ideas of how to share that information. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be tidbit size works a little bit better than trying to provide a bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
Because school finance is a little bit unique, so if we just share a little piece of information at a time, people seem to get, oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But when you try and explain, you know, 30 minutes of
it, eyes glaze over. I did, and as we talk a little bit about the future, I also put a little note here about the voucher litigation too. You know, Todd did send me a piece of paper that I didn't forward to anybody yet. But I think if you want to be a part of that, there is a cost. It's like $2 per student.
Yeah.
So it's not it's not an insignificant amount of money. You know. But just talking about that cost versus benefit, and is this the time to jump into something, you know, to show the state, show everybody in the state that we're part of this and we don't like what our legislation is doing with regard to vouchers. But, you know, that might be something that we put in the work plan for next year.
It's a very interesting concept. I ran across a couple people this week that I had a discussion with on vouchers, and they are actually in the process of moving their kids from a parochial school into Marysville school system. And so I said, do you mind if I ask you a question? I go, if the backpack bill would pass in some form and the voucher money would come to you, would you move your kids back to a parochial school? And she said, I don't know. Let's see how this year goes.
Okay.
So I thought that was a very interesting comment. It wasn't an automatic yes.
Right.
So it goes to, if people are happy with their experience at school, then the fear of vouchers is much less than if they're unhappy. So I know we've strived for a long time to offer opportunities, and I really think we provide a huge amount of opportunities for the size of our school district, whether it's athletic, extracurricular, academic, FFA, top program in the country.
Right.
You know, a lot of opportunities, and I think that that's what's going to, even if the voucher program would go through, I think we have a lot of people that are very dedicated because we have a strong partnership between community and schools.
And businesses.
And businesses.
I'm not concerned that we lose a whole bunch of students due to the voucher program, but I do think we lose a lot of money.
Potentially, right.
And,
I know.
You know, I talked to a parent just this past week, and he sent his kids to private school, figuring that was the best he could possibly do for his kids. And it borderline was abusive, you know, and I won't, you know, and it was a religious school, and I won't mention any names or anything that way. But he's back in public schools in a big way, and he, you know, he's like almost to the point of wanting to jump off a cliff for what he did to his kids, you know. So,
I agree. I agree. I think it's not such an issue with our district
schools,
but more the bigger picture.
Could you get him to write a letter?
I don't know.
That I would be able to share.
I don't know.
Okay, good. Good point.
That would be a great speculation, but
Okay. So yeah, conversation for another for the next years and stuff. Okay. Good with goal two then. Okay. Then goal three, objective A. Goal three is about the maintaining a safe learning environment. So objective A, support safety throughout the district. So this is where, you know, we've included some things about COVID-19 in here, which we'll see when we get to next year. I'm not sure if we need to still include them for next year, but for now, you know, if you look through all of these things, again, I feel like we've done a nice job staying on top of current issues and making sure we have resources and always looking for ways to improve safety.
Right, and I think with the grant money that we recently received, that maybe that's something that gets spelled out in next year's.
Mm-hmm.
Though we got the email, we can't use it for SROs.
Right, I know.
Which is a little bit disappointing.
But yeah. Yeah, but maybe it will free up some other money.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
right.
I just thought, you know, instead of half of the reach into our pocket to do other things that are security-wise, I think that's going to free up some money and maybe help us with the SROs down the road.
Right, right. Yep.
Cameras and all kinds of equipment, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those things, sometimes I think, like, the lifespan of some of those things, you know, so it is important to upgrade them, I think, pretty regularly, just because...
Well, they get better.
They do.
I mean,
and hopefully sometimes cheaper and better.
Yeah, the first generation was so bad it wasn't worth having them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, we saw him do the crime. Now, who is that? Well... Get five people in here know how to dress.
Yeah. Okay. Good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Goal 3, objective B, stay current with safety trends. Again, just we're supposed to be educating ourselves on general safety issues, attending in-house training, support, and again, a lot of these are COVID-related because we supported the continued use of the superintendent's medical advisory committee. I mean, I think we were consistent, again, throughout the year, as needed, when it was appropriate. All of these things happened. Obviously, looking to the future, some of those, you know, SRO program, things like that for next year, I think that's obviously going to be a focus in there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Objective C for safety is supporting the use of our districts and communities' resources to provide the best services for our students and families. So, you know, encouraging existing and additional programs and partnerships, supporting and encouraging community wraparound services.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, now that we're struggling a little bit with fuel prices, though they've gone down a bit, inflation, unemployment, what does our district look like? Because I was a little bit surprised when I first got on the board the amount of services that the schools provide for economically disadvantaged kids. It's, it's not just a lunch program. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of services.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I've really been impressed with what our administrators have done in terms of expanding some of the mental health resources for students in our district. And obviously, I think those need to expand and continue to grow as we move forward.
Yeah.
But I know from the networking that we've been doing that we are on the forefront. Because I think we were asked to be set up a model curriculum for the state of Ohio in this area.
Right.
And because of the things that we were doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I remember Mark Gallagher was recognized by our county mental health board.
Right.
When they had a real, I think you might have gone to some of that, I can't remember. But anyways, it was for like mental health care providers and things like that, and they recognized a variety of people, but they recognized Mark for the partnership and the work with the school district to provide a lot of different resources for our students and families. So, okay, good for the safety part. The last area is community partnerships. Our objective A was to represent our district as supporters of public education. So, you know, we just wanted to be maintaining good public relations within our community and advocate for public education. So, not sure, I mean, other than like board meetings, community coffees, things like that, just trying to be out there.
I think kind of, you and I kind of just talked about this real briefly, that once the school year gets going, we kind of thought that maybe we would have like a community forum to talk about school safety, because it's still on people's minds, and I want to get the, I think it would be a good idea to get a public forum where we can talk back and forth with people and answer questions and get their input on, you know, kind of what they're thinking. I think that would be helpful, especially this is still very much in the news, and it's still very much on people's minds, and we're looking at making some substantial investments. But we want to make sure we're doing, you know, what the community wants. I know.
Well, in this kind of, I just listened to that podcast that you had recommended in the student achievement thing, you know, where it had a gentleman who was a past teacher, assistant superintendent, and then a board member for a while as well. So he was talking about the board's role, impact on student achievement. But one of the things he talked about was engage with big issues versus a tell and sell. This is what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to try and sell it, you know. And he said, obviously, that's not something you do with every situation, but there are some. And he said the example he gave was they had a basketball game, and two of the players showed up, and they were stoned. And he goes, like 15 minutes into the game, some parents started coming up to him. What are you going to do? He goes, and afterwards, we talked, and he said, well, we think this would be a good community forum to talk about drugs and how do you deal with it? How do you, you know, do you discipline? Do you try and rehabilitate or, you know, educate, things like that? And he said it took him about 4 months to develop some policies, but it was very collaborative and they had a lot of parent input and student input and everything. So I like your idea, and I thought that was a good example of that. And I think it would be, I think that there would be plenty of people that would show up or something like that. Because the last thing you want to do is, yeah, we're going to have a community forum, and you've got 5 board members and 2 parents or something, you know. Sorry, that's going on. 4B, support and encourage partnerships. That one, I think we really are strong in that area. I think everybody's focused on when you're out and about, if you see a potential, let Diane know, let Todd know, whatever.
And I think that goes back to our board notes, because they write, each building writes in their board notes what partnerships they have developed, because everybody's in a different neighborhood, everybody's got different contacts.
Right.
And
right.
So this, while at a district level, we have a number of industries and businesses that provide a lot of support. There's a lot of support that goes in doing smaller things for our students that get highlighted there. Yep. So.
And that's always nice as board members. We're aware of it, and you're out in the community, and you see, you know, you go into one of those businesses, and it's nice to be able to thank them and have that nice, you know, informal conversation with them. Just kind of listen to what they're getting out of the partnership and thank them and all that kind of good stuff. So, okay, last one, objective C is focus on communication. And in here we had said we wanted to visit the buildings at least twice a year, pending health department guidelines, strive to have presence at extracurricular events, maintain and update the board website, prepare creative communications and or videos for the staff. Maintaining and updating the board website, that's something I can do a little bit of a better job on that. And I don't know that we did too many videos this last year, which I'm okay with, but we might change that in the future. But, yeah, I don't know if maybe Brian was a little bit more tuned into doing videos or something, but...
He was excited about that.
Yes, yeah. But anyways, we did visit the buildings twice, at least twice, and I know people did their best to go to a variety of extracurricular events.
As we look into, I don't know if this is the time to bring this up, but look into passing the levy, is, you know, I know you and I, well, probably all of us go to the football games to some degree. I go to a lot more than I did when I was teaching because by that time I was done.
Yeah, right, right. You want to get off the school grounds.
If I had a free Friday night, I would be gone.
Yes.
But that, and we're there, but, you know, people are very hesitant to approach us and talk to us other than people we know and associate with anyway. And I just wondered if we shouldn't set a table up, you know, under a tent off to the side for people to come up and you know, maybe even put the topic out there, say,
we have to be careful. It can be levy information.
Right.
Right. It can't be vote for. You can't do anything like that.
Any topic.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
okay,
we could change the topic, but you know, that way we're not blindsided. We could say, you know, we're prepared to work with you on this topic tonight, and and maybe we'll look into that and get back with you.
Right.
You know, that will keep us from getting off from getting off the topic. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That way when someone walks in the tent, I know that's what they want to do is talk to a board member about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'm sitting in my seat, I don't know what, you know, whether they're messing with me or just being friendly or really are serious about talking.
Again, I think we just have to be careful.
Yeah,
right.
Put a thing up and say we do it. For.
Right. We come up with a catchy phrase or something.
Yeah, we can't use district resources. Everything you hand out has to be printed and paid for by the committee.
Well, but I think you could, I mean, I guess this is part of that discussion for, I think, our this current year's work plan, for the 2022-2023 work plan. I think definitely.
Maybe if the committee has a tent. All right.
Right.
And there's nothing that stops a board member
from sitting in there as well.
From being there, but that way it's not the Board of Education tent. So.
Yeah.
But I think.
I think we can get this figured out so we don't
stray across the line, and we're able to provide information.
Right. I mean, it could be football, basketball.
Right.
You know, wrestling, whatever. Gymnastics.
Yeah.
Any.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just say football extracurriculars.
People go to gymnastics? I don't know. I just remember my wrestling events. There were like, you know, three parents from each school.
Well, they get
some of those get a lot of parents. Yeah, they get a lot more than three. Okay, so do we feel, if you think back over the past year, overall pretty positive, I think, with our work plan?
I think a lot was accomplished. I think that we stayed on top of things. I think one of the and I've said it before, I'll say it again, setting kind of in stone that we were, the goal was to get kids in school 5 days a week, forced us to be really responsive to the health and safety aspects of things, and at the same time made us very aware of what was going on academically in the buildings. In terms of the goals and things, I think generally at this point, what we have seen from the academic reports is promising.
Yes.
I think the fact that we were able to operate the schools with students in class, in front of the teachers, for the biggest part of the year was a win. So I feel good about what we accomplished in the last year. I mean, everybody would like to do better. Excellence is not, you know, achieved overnight.
That's right.
And I think we're pushing in the right direction.
Okay. Good. And I did well. Yeah. Obviously, we've got two new board members, so that's, you know, we've had some additional focus and work to try and bring people up to speed and, you know, and just go through that whole transition. New personalities, new backgrounds, all that kind of stuff. So I feel good about last year too.
Okay,
then moving on, discussing the superintendent and treasurer goals. So I know it's a little that Diane and Todd are not with us here tonight, but they did send us their goals, and I just thought we'd just kind of review some of these things, and if there are questions, obviously we can schedule a meeting, you know, to discuss them if you want a little bit more detail on things. Todd's goals clearly are focused on the levy, and in my opinion, that's exactly where the focus needs to be right now. But it's nice that he does tie in the levy with student achievement and just that goal. As we all know, anybody who's been involved in a levy ask before, it's very distracting during the school year. And, you know, people, staff members are nervous and that kind of stuff. So just that, I like the fact that he's, you know, Todd's talked about minimizing the impact on student learning if it would fail, and also minimizing student learning, not wanting to be negatively impacted by the levy process. And I think, you know, when you've got a real strong committee, which we do, and we've had, in my opinion, really good processes in the past, people know what they need to be doing, and they're focused on that, and Todd provides the right information, all that kind of stuff, then that can minimize some of that distraction and anxiety, things like that. And as a board, obviously that's going to be in our work plan too. What can we do?
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. Is it makes teachers very nervous,
right?
And not just some of them,
right?
It kind of emanates through all the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. As it gets closer,
yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and you know, the rumor mill starts flying, and it's a huge distraction, and we do not need our teachers stressed.
Right.
No. We need to help keep them laser focused on, you know, student learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what our opposition is going to look like at this point.
I know.
So, That adds to it. That adds to the stress, not just on the board, but it emanates down to the all the way to the classrooms, to the gyms, to the art rooms, to the cafeterias. You know what I mean? People start getting nervous.
Yeah.
And
maybe one positive though is if we're on the May ballot, I think that timing is a lot better than August. In some way, you know, I mean, so you just, I don't know, I feel like that's better timing than August and or November.
Right.
Mm-hmm. November is awful, right?
Yeah.
There in the middle of the school year. We've got to work on it. But so anyways, that's obviously a focus for the student learning, for financial stability. And then when it comes to safety, he's focusing on the facilities plan. And talking, and you know, as I looked through his goals, I also was looking at our strategic plan to, you know, make sure that it's aligned to our strategic plan. So it clearly says in our strategic plan, it talks about having a facilities group to really, and that's, I think, another great public forum, or, you know, something like that, where you get a lot of input from families and stuff. And then the last area of community engagement talks about coming up with a document that illustrates our financial picture in an easy to understand format, and then he continues to focus on the PTO groups. I put a couple comments in there that that our strategic plan talks about, like employee retention. When you look at the financial stability, the third objective is exceptional staff. And so talked about creating a unique employee wellness platform, engaging the community with community partners to create recognition and wellness opportunities for staff. And so that's, I want to talk to Todd a little bit about that and see if he's considered that part of the strategic plan and, you know, if he's got any ideas for goals in that area. So. Anybody else have comments or, you know, like I said, obviously we can meet with him and if you want to give him a call if there's anything. And so if he needs, if we'd like him to make any revisions, we can do that. And
right. Under financial stability, he does not mention either the PI fund or the bond fund. And the bonds take care of themselves and their own target.
Right.
To be paid, and the PI fund is separate. There's separate taxes that have money that flows into that fund. But I just think in terms of a goal, if he made a note that the bonds are on schedule and the PI fund is, you know, is. Solid, you know, through the future or whatever, and would make the financial stability just more complete in that he addresses the other two buckets with a short single sentence or comment.
Well, or even, I mean, even if as part of that, when he talks about planning for financial stability, even if he just says something like planning for financial stability with both our or with our operating, comma, permanent improvement and bond funds.
Yeah.
So just, that at least a
right.
Yeah, okay, a mention it, that there are the three buckets.
Right. And that's the only thing, because I know, you know, the auditor adjusts the tax rate,
right,
the millage the rate bonds, on the bonds, so the bonds will always be paid. And the PI fund is that separate piece. So.
Okay. Any other thoughts, comments?
Okay.
Okay.
I know, trying to figure out where this goal would come from, and I'm not sure if it's under safety, but I know we talked about the teacher retention and policy. I know we did renegotiate, but if there was a way to secure a better plan, that kind of helps. Because I think that did come up in a survey that our staff. I could be confusing. I didn't prepare my remarks, but I think healthcare, the benefit package, is something that we could maybe find a better edge for in terms of compensation.
Right. And there's Larry Zimmerman, long years ago, came, I happened to be president of the Teachers Association, he came and says, I want to set up a benefit committee. And so we set up, our district has a benefit committee that operates kind of outside of the rest of the negotiated contract. And teachers make up a majority of the people on the committee, and they meet with the insurance advisors and companies or whomever gets involved in providing the coverages and so forth. We're self-insured in order to save money. So the health care piece is developed by the teachers with administrative input and guidance, you know, Todd, in terms of how much money is available and what is reasonable and so forth. So it's worked to help save the school district money and to make sure that we've been able to provide health care for the teachers. There are some significant issues and problems with it, and I don't know exactly the best way to try to approach that, since this committee is really what drives the decision as to...
How do people get on the committee?
The Teacher Association appoints, and our superintendent, treasurer, they pick some other administrators to serve. And I know teachers that served on the committee that thought that they were going to be on one side of the table and the administration and the insurance companies would be on the other. And what they found was that the administration was on the same side as the teachers, and on the other side was the insurance companies.
So it's a real team.
Yeah,
a team effort.
It has. It has. My general impression is, without, because I don't have any of the details, but it has functioned reasonably well. Yeah. And one of the benefits is that whatever the committee comes up with in terms of insurance, and having worked in other areas on insurance, it's always dollar driven. You know, you only have this many dollars, how much coverage can we get for this much money, is what it typically comes down to. And so the insurance packages, my little bit of understanding is that teachers have two or three different plans they can choose, high deductible with a lower premium, higher premium, lower deductible, and maybe something else. We offer the health care
savings accounts. Yep.
Where teachers can have money taken out of their salary and put into that and spend it without having to pay taxes on that money. So I think my impression is, as I sit here, we could suggest to Todd that maybe they look to try to do something more, because it's going to come down to money. Is there the money?
I also feel like through the negotiations, I mean, I've been a part of them, and I've never heard a lot of, I mean, people aren't happy, but I've never heard like an uproar about it. And then I also look at OSBA when they give us like other contract negotiations, and sometimes like other districts, they're paying 15% of healthcare, whereas I think we're capped at, well, no, the district pays 8%, but I know, like, I don't know. I feel like it's comparative to some of those other ones, but I think it's certainly good to say, hey, you know, how's the committee working out? Are you hearing a lot of complaints? Are there some things that we could do to help with that?
I think the committee offers the teachers and the Teachers Association the opportunity to come in and say, hey, we need to really do something. And they may or may not be taking that opportunity.
Well, if it's not, what I'm trying to, I guess, I understand healthcare is complicated, is complicated, but I think maybe what Dan said earlier is just speaking to that wellness and retention. Find a way to, how do we all know that the market is not good for education, so how do we find that edge, the advantage? And attending and recruiting the best staff that we can. I think the goals, maybe they could just speak to that.
Well, and but that's kind of when I look back to our strategic plan under strategies for exceptional staff, engage with community partners to create recognition and wellness opportunities for staff. You know, so I think to me that could be a small part of it, whether it's got actual dollars attached to it or discounts or spa benefits, massage, but you know, I don't know, just some different things like that. That if we can really, if we can start working on some things that way, that don't have such a big dollar sign attached to them for the district, but can be good for everybody.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, in the east building, our new administrative offices, mm-hmm. there would be an opportunity to set up some wellness opportunities there for teachers.
Right.
Nothing wrong with wellness opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you start requiring wellness activities.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. To earn certain things.
Yeah.
And
I gotta say I had that up, but mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people very disappointed with that incentive program that mm-hmm. was in place a few years ago. I don't know mm-hmm. if it's still there or not, but mm-hmm. and administrators also, you know, do you want your teachers, beating the path down to the gymnasium so they can work out on the mats, or staying after and helping kids? And I think mm-hmm. you know the answer to that question. You know, and do you want teachers making up things that they possibly did at home that they would have done anyway,
mm-hmm.
So that they qualify for the points? Is it mm-hmm. just a paper mm-hmm. chase? Another paper chase mm-hmm. that teachers don't need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their lives. If it would cost the district nothing to say, well, the weight room's unlocked until 6 o'clock, you know, help yourself
mm-hmm.
For that. And a lot of teachers do that at the
right.
high school
mm-hmm.
anyway, whether it's announced or not, they're there.
Yeah.
Right.
I know I did for a couple of years, you know, but
yeah.
But the whole dynamics change when you say, here's a carrot, and also, by the way, here's a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do all these mm-hmm. things now,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
I guess I could draw a line and say if smoking were an issue, I'd be all in favor of eliminating people from smoking. But beyond that, I don't think you're going to see a tremendous benefit.
Yeah.
And it's not going to save the district a lot of money on health care mm-hmm. either. It's, you know, it's end-of-life health care that we're really changing.
Yeah, yep.
So.
Okay. So I guess that's, to me, then sounds like for Todd's goals, got a comment about mentioning all funds under the financial stability, and then maybe either in the safety or community engagement, wherever it fits in, talking about wellness / healthcare /
just
staff retention,
like
that focus on staff retention mm-hmm. and things like that. So, yeah. So really, that objective three.
I think staff
plan.
Retention would be a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, and I'm linking it to Todd's because this shows up under the financial stability
sure.
section of the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've said this before, the mm-hmm. community engagement piece, and I could use some help maybe adding the right verbiage to it, but I think mm-hmm. we do need to come up with a way to talk about the impact of growth and how that does, like, make mm-hmm. just fill in the picture a little bit stronger. I know we talked about, like, the TIF, you know, report,
mm-hmm.
the TIF impact report could be something that gives decision makers some hard evidence to, and I'm not saying pencil in this as a goal. I think that's
an
opportunity to...
Part of the discussion of...
Yeah, like, how
things,
do we...
Yes.
strengthen that community engagement, because
mm-hmm.
there's a community engagement with the parents, the residents,
mm-hmm.
there's a community engagement with the decision makers, right? And
mm-hmm.
there's a community engagement with companies that come
mm-hmm.
To the district for partnerships or development. And so I think that's how I look at the buckets of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And should our goals speak towards those perspectives?
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. community engagement, we talked about earlier with staff, that's more internal under safety and wellness to our plan. But I think it doesn't have to, I'm not going to say we should do X, Y, or Z. I just think we should speak, have a goal that's talking about outside. I know the levy's the big deal, but long term, how do we engage with the community in terms of school finance and issues that impact?
And then, and I do under financials, because I had just kind of made little bullet points for each one of his areas, things that, that I thought was the focus. And under financial stability, I have levy growth incentives. So I do, I mean, I feel like he's talked about them. He's pointed them out in that area, but I, you know, I agree that that's, it's tied into that community engagement too, as far as making sure people are aware of those things. So, okay. Good. All right. Diane's goals. We did have a chance to sit down with her briefly before our meeting. So in her objective one, focusing on academic achievement and growth. And so she said really at this point now, they're taking personalized learning to the next level. So she actually showed, and Dick came in too, right after I got started there, she showed me an example of like every building, every principal has kind of a one pager that's a similar format to the strategic plan that says here's my overarching building goals, and then here's in student achievement and some of these other areas, things that we know our building needs to focus on. So in literacy, it might be the memes or you know, whatever. In math, it might be numeracy, or I don't know all the educational terms, you know. But anyways, every building has got a personalized goal, and that's what they were working on over the past week to 10 days. And so then when they do, Diane said, when she and her administrative staff do their building visits, they're specifically looking for those items in there, in their goals. And she said, you know, that every building will have a form that will be posted on the website so parents can see what these goals are as well. They may not have exact percents, like if they say we want to increase by, you know, from the 75% to 80%, it may not be on the goals that parents see, but in their detailed work plans, there are expectations that Diane will be working with the principals to, you know, support them and hopefully attain all of those. So Diane's goal is pretty general, but because one of my questions was, what are your expectations of each principal? Do you have percent increases, things like that? She goes, well, she goes, I do, but I don't know how to put it into this goal because every building is unique. So anyways, that was kind of her explanation of that. And feel free to try and find some time that you can meet with her. She's been incredibly busy, but she can show you some of those things too if you want an example of them. That was pretty impressive.
Where the administrators are in terms of their thinking is really impressive.
Oh yeah, right. Aligned to the strategic plan.
I said, now, just, you know, each building has different goals. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, and the expected growth is tied to that particular building, mm-hmm. and is not tied to anything district-wide or, mm-hmm. you know, what other buildings are doing and so forth. And she said, oh, absolutely. And I said, and all the goals that are being set are attainable. They're not aspirational. And she said, very, very attainable. But that was,
which
again...
Which doesn't mean that they're setting them low so they can attain them. You know,
but,
they're...
You know, you want growth.
You stretch.
You want to set a goal. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that it's a reasonable goal. Using your example, maybe 80 is reasonable, 85, mm-hmm. a 10% increase may not be mm-hmm. reasonable. Mm-hmm. But that kind of tied back to the fact that her goals, and as I read them, I thought, boy, these are kind of foggy and mm-hmm. kind mm-hmm. of all over. But that helped me to understand that because there's so much diversity in terms of everything underneath, mm-hmm. hers needed to be broad so that all of the things that are going to be happening in the buildings were covered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she didn't have a goal that had part A through F mm-hmm. for goal one mm-hmm. and another A through Z for goal two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Under financial stability, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, she's, you know, her goal is going to be to help develop and implement the comprehensive strategy for the levy. In goal three.
Oh, this is completely obvious question.
Okay.
Is the personalized learning helping us with our achievement, and have we seen a difference since, like, your time serving on the board, the switch to personalized learning, and how we mm-hmm. register on the achievement and, like, the gap closing? Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen some reports where there have been graphs, and do you recall some of those where you could see, like, once we started this, you could start seeing pretty significant increases.
Yeah, especially in the lower grades.
Yes,
the lower grades is where we really saw the big changes. And
right.
Then,
I think it'll filter through the higher grades once the kids
had it. Early college, high school, because
yes,
you know, the first year was very experimental mm-hmm. at early college, high school. They did mm-hmm. a lot of mm-hmm. changing, but I think they've gotten into the groove, and mm-hmm. they were very their scores are very good.
Yeah.
The overall trends were curving. Mm-hmm. You know, there was an upward trajectory over years. Then COVID hit, and it kind of flattened or dipped or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but the kindergarten for every child, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. The alt kindergarten program for the younger kindergarten students, the intervention and diagnostics that were done as a part of, you know, the personalized learning. If you're going to personalize something, you have to know your student.
Right. So the social-emotional.
Right. And
part of
that ties in all the social-emotional mm-hmm. stuff. And national research shows that students that are better in terms of social-emotional will achieve more academically. Mm-hmm. There's a very direct, strong connection between those two. And so the combination of the personalized learning along with the social-emotional, from my seat, has made dramatic changes. Mm-hmm. Minus the last 2 years,
yeah. Right?
Okay,
right. But I look at the last 2 years and the benefit of having started that personalized mm-hmm. learning and having those relationships, I think helped us weather the storm better than other districts.
Yeah, I was looking at a report the other day, and the early college high school was ranked in the top 5% of all schools in the state of Ohio. Based on the criteria that this mm-hmm. this was a national publication that was doing this for all states, and within mm-hmm. the state of Ohio, our high school was in the top 20% mm-hmm. of all schools in Ohio, and the early college was in the top 5% of all schools in Ohio. Mm-hmm. You get somebody else with a different criteria,
right?
And you know, we don't end up with those numbers. But a lot of it has to do. A lot of the national rankings are based on standardized test scores, mm-hmm. And many of the schools that score very high in those areas are more selective. Not only maybe in terms of the students that are attending the school, but also within the school who actually takes the national standardized test. I know that there's some, we encourage every student that's in an AP class to take the AP test. Mm-hmm. There are some schools that will only allow students that achieve a certain level within the AP class to mm-hmm. take the AP test. Mm-hmm. And so if you the more you filter, the more skewed your results become. So
the reason why I asked the question, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. the way I read that goal is personalized learning is kind of the strategy here. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Yes.
That's going to take us to, that has been proven and it's going to continue to take us there without doing anything else.
And you'll begin experiencing it yourself mm-hmm. with your own kids. Mm-hmm. So to be honest with you, I was not completely sold when we mm-hmm. started. I had to kind of see how it is. And mm-hmm. personalized learning is a framework, but teachers have vast authority within their class to use what they want. Mm-hmm. There are certain curriculums that you can use, mm-hmm. but a lot of the teachers that I know don't use any of that curriculum. They develop their own teaching tools. Mm-hmm. They react to what the class mm-hmm. Is enjoying and engaged in.
Yeah.
And they make changes based on that.
Yeah.
So personalized learning is, you've got this kind of big framework of what you have to teach. If you're like maybe a beginner teacher, mm-hmm. you're a little bit more reliant on these like tools. Mm-hmm. But as time goes by and you develop your own lesson plans and experiences and learn how to read a class, mm-hmm. Those experienced teachers were already doing personalized learning for years and years and years before we chose to put a framework and a name on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for spending
that
extra time.
Sure. Yep. Okay, so then we'll move to the objective two. Again, was just the financial stability and her focus on developing and implementing the comprehensive strategy for the levy ask in next spring. Any questions about that? Okay. In the objective three, the area of safety, she talks about the implementing, monitoring, and assessing the dogs program across kindergarten through 12, and then. Which I'm really excited about that program. But I also pointed out to her that under the safety and wellness strategy or item in our strategic plan, objective two talks about risk management and creating a safety committee. And she said that they've already started that. And I said, well, I think you ought to just put something in your goals, too, because I think it's important for the board and the community, everybody, to know that that's a real strong focus. So she'll add something to her goal under safety.
You said that, I'm sorry, there's a safety?
Yeah, under objective two, under the safety and wellness, the second check mark there is create a safety committee comprised of community stakeholders.
Okay.
And so she said that they were already working on that, which is kind of her MO. like a lot of you'll ask a question, yep, we've got that in the works and stuff. So again, I said I think it's worthwhile to include that in your goal.
If you're doing it anyway.
Yeah, yep. if there's anything else that you think of, again, feel free to call her. And then objective four and five, the community partnerships. When I read through this, I thought that it's so aligned to the strategic plan, this real focus on community partnerships and engaging a variety of people to help. Like number one, the first area was to build a K-12 workforce curriculum. So our strategic plan is clearly focused more on that future readiness for our students. and starting earlier. We heard that a lot in the committee. People say, you know, don't talk about jobs just in high school. You need to talk about opportunities when kids are young. So she's talking about building that K-12 workforce curriculum. And then the second one is talking about building the K-12 comprehensive personalized learning portfolio, which was formerly called PLP, to be implemented in the classrooms. Can you remember how she was describing that? Because that was...
it was going to be a document that got started when kids were in kindergarten, first grade, whenever they enter the school. Mm-hmm. And that document would kind of follow them as they go through. So it would be kind of an accumulative type thing. Now, what it looks like, who's gonna do it, mm-hmm. how detailed it is, you know, there's a lot of things that she didn't mention. But I've been thinking, as you were talking, about the fact that we have and she talks about the Marysville Guarantee, that mm-hmm. our students are prepared to go to school, they're prepared mm-hmm. to enter the workforce, and so forth. And so having some certification to back that promise up mm-hmm. is kind of where maybe this kind of fits. But I took it that this is something we had been doing, and it was more of a morph into a slightly different format with a new title.
Well, I guess I also, it's more comprehensive with mm-hmm. the whole idea of community partnerships in here. You know, it's not just teachers and students or teachers and parents. Mm-hmm. It's other people. And you will note that is going to, that her goal is to have it implemented in classrooms for the 23-24 school year. So this is a full year, you know, full process. This whole year, this current year, mm-hmm. is the development phase of it, with the goal to implement it right. next school year.
And she said they've already gotten started on it, and mm-hmm. you know, on some of the changes or enhancements mm-hmm. from what they had been doing. So, mm-hmm.
Under this objective, mm-hmm. where does exploratory learning go?
Where does it what?
Which goal is
exploratory learning?
Meets the objective of exploratory learning?
I would look at the K-12 workforce curriculum. That I can't believe that a K-12 workforce curriculum would not include.
Yeah, exploratory learning, that's part of academic. This is more job focused.
Well, right? Yeah, but a workforce curriculum has to start with your academic. I mean, like, if you want to be prepared for a certain job, you have
right.
pathways, things like that, and within the pathways, I think you're going to have, you know, I mean, I think you're going to have some hands-on internship opportunities, but those would be good questions
yeah.
to ask Diane.
I'm not really a fan of K-12. I'm a fan maybe of 6-12 with workforce development, because, you know, I feel we need to be focusing on academic and cornerstone skills in those early mm-hmm. grades and not pushing...
But I think, like, when we went to Success Bound, they talked about how, like, Northwood did, for a while there, they had college days and stuff where mm-hmm. they had pennants up for different colleges and everything. And at the Success Bound, they said, well, let's get away from putting college pennants up and let's put pictures of nurses, astronauts, scientists, engineers, bus drivers, things like that, more career-type things, and start it. And they said, you should have those pictures in elementary schools. Mm-hmm. Because my grandkids, you know, I'm going to be a fireman. Or, you know, I mean, like,
right.
they notice things and they think about things from a young age. And
right.
and I think, again, great questions to ask Diane, because maybe the curriculum for those lower grades is very, I mean, not focused on job skills, you know,
yeah.
but just like
yeah.
awareness of different things, maybe, and age appropriate, I would guess. But those are the kinds of questions. I think we could ask her to...
Right.
To
I know, after the success conference, I came in and talked to her, and I was like, man, we've got to get information to parents earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And get parents starting to see the connections between the educational process mm-hmm. and
opportunities, the job
opportunities,
right.
the learning opportunities later on down in our school system. Because I think what we want is for parents to help guide their students through our school district, making choices that will lead to career and educational opportunities beyond graduation. And so we have parents who may not in themselves see all of those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so educating the parents, providing information to the students and the parents about all of the possibilities that are going to be open to them, making them aware that when they get to Bunsell, there's going to be some educational career opportunities that where students will be able to explore a little bit. And then also the transition to the choices in terms of which high school building to go to, which career paths to choose, you know, all of those kinds of things that needed to start. I came out of the success meetings thinking that needed to happen sooner
mm-hmm.
and maybe more for the parents as much as the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So
if I may, with the strategic plan community partnerships, both of these goals that are listed really focus on the objective one, which is the workforce and talent development.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have exploratory learning, objective two,
mm-hmm.
Which I can understand. I can understand there is going to be some workforce development and talent development, but exploratory learning is not. There is a connection with workforce, right?
Mm-hmm.
But. Maybe I'm just thinking this out loud here. I understand the capstone process, like develop a reflective capstone process to demonstrate growth and skill development. So, is that what the PLP or the comprehensive personalized learning portfolio, would that include? I guess this is a question for Diane, but would mm-hmm. that include that capstone, right? And then objective three was home and school connections. Which is about your PTO engagement,
mm-hmm.
Your educational series focus on parent interest, and just increasing parent caregiver participation.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way I think. So mm-hmm. I have a strategic plan, mm-hmm. and I have three objectives under one step.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, mm-hmm. this is not me. But there should be kind of a goal, like how do we achieve objective one, objective two,
mm-hmm.
objective three, and then that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then even under financial stability, all the other objectives, and that's kind mm-hmm. of the template that I just envision that are mm-hmm. these goals would be written out like. Because I can see, now that I'm talking it through,
mm-hmm.
that the strategic plan area kind of covers objective one and objective two, but... Mm-hmm. There's also, at the same time, we could rationalize it covers objective one and two, but is it as clear?
I guess part of it is this is a one-year, like a one-year goal, and so this strategic plan is ongoing, like we're going to update it in 5 years or something.
Yeah.
And I also feel like, in my opinion, some of these objectives, some of the strategies under objective three, are going to be carried out by building principals. I mean, like, you know, this strategic plan is for the entire district, so I wouldn't expect Diane and or Todd to have a goal for every objective and item in here. That's my thought, because it's a district-wide strategic plan. So some of these are going to be carried out by different people. That's
and
my thought.
And some of them might not be on the list till next year.
Right, right.
And it's going to look different from an elementary grades, mm-hmm. the junior high, and the high school, mm-hmm. and the STEM school. All mm-hmm. of them are going to be different. So, mm-hmm. like you said earlier, she's got to cover all those areas mm-hmm. in one goal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, I understand that, but a lot of organizations have strategic directions. That's mm-hmm. what it's called, strategic mm-hmm. plans, mm-hmm. and it's measurable. So from a district wide, this is a district plan. Mm-hmm. These are district goals. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying what is Building 1 doing. We've heard
right.
that buildings are
right.
formulating
uh-huh.
plans.
Right.
But every year we should be taking steps towards that direction
yeah.
and all the objectives that we've mapped out.
I understand. I think also though, like if you look at when you ask people for goals, you generally aren't looking at 10 goals per year. You're like, okay, let's focus on these main goals. But at the same time, because we have this strategic plan, I feel very confident that throughout the year we're going to be hearing updates that are related to these objectives and strategies. Because now that this approved, I mean, they will be working on them, but there may not be specific goals that, I mean, I think it makes sense to have a workable number of goals and that you really want to focus on that are important for this year. But again, I mean, this is kind of just based on my experience so far, is that I know there's going to be work done probably on every area in the strategic plan. And like Nan said, some of them may just be initial conversations right now and trying to put some pieces in place. But it's a work in progress. And all of these things are not attainable in 1 year.
I understand mm-hmm. it's not yeah. attainable. It's a yeah. it's moving in that direction, right?
Right.
That's
right.
That's, and yeah. so mm-hmm. put something, I mean, personally, I don't think a strategic plan is to be four areas. I think that is a lot, but I understand mm-hmm. moving in that direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll end my comment with this. Like objective mm-hmm. one, which is mm-hmm. the academic achievement and growth. Mm-hmm. We talk about personalized learning. I really like objective two, character development. And I know we mm-hmm. do this every day. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how do we measure if we've mm-hmm. made growth in character development. So that's
right.
something I would like to kind of see mm-hmm. in the superintendent's goal mm-hmm. is coming up with, we have these strategies defined,
mm-hmm.
but how do we, this would be very easy for buildings to say, hey, this is how we're making direction, but then mm-hmm. how do we, as a district, know that we're moving mm-hmm. and achieving success in it? Character development, because I know mm-hmm. we talk about academic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So, for objective one, mm-hmm. or the goal one, I would like to kind of see something about that character development. I think it's very important for us to.
All right. Within personalized learning is character and exploratory learning. And so forth, are those subsets mm-hmm. of personalized learning?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because then, if I look at Diane's goals, and she says, I'm going to support personalized learning, then she does not get into, with her goal, character, exploratory learning, social-emotional health, career planning, any of those other things, mm-hmm. because those are all subsets of the personalized learning.
Okay.
Does that... Am I...
In that objective one, like in the parentheses,
yeah.
you know, its frameworks focus on areas for growth. Social-emotional learning, achievement, gap-closing, growth, high-quality student data. Which, again, I mean, that's
yeah.
like the bigger one, and she always has, she's got details underneath.
No, I don't cover a lot of those things.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out
yeah.
really, what did you want added? You know, what specifically did you want added in here? And I, you know, as I stuck things in there, it was like,
it's all part of it.
Yeah, you know, each of these becomes part of the bigger personalized learning, which, from my point of view, is kind of all encompassing. But, you know, I get what you're saying, and I know trying to get the strategic plan and her goals and those kind of things to kind of line up, mm-hmm. and I, you know, is.
And I don't, you know, it's like when you talk
about the MPDIPI committee.
Sure.
Yeah. Then none of these goals would qualify. Absolutely. Right?
Yes.
And that's what he's saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I want, you know, 75% mm-hmm. of the kids to meet this goal.
Yep.
Or I want to have a discussion, you know. Mm-hmm. And am I putting words in your mouth?
I mean, that's what I was faced
with as a teacher. Uh-huh. And I would write stuff like this, mm-hmm. and Dick would throw it back to me. You know, say, no, sorry, Jack, that's not going to work, you know, because I want measurable goals. And I think that's what you're asking is.
Yeah, because we want the goals to evaluate, right?
Yeah, because we're going to come back and we're going to say, did this happen? Do you have proof that all this happened?
Right.
And I guess having written them this way, mm-hmm. I don't have a problem. But
mm-hmm. yeah,
I understand his hang up with it 100%.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
And I was sitting over here trying to figure out mm-hmm. how to suggest, you know.
I don't know how you're going to
well,
do that.
I mean, and that's why I had asked her, you know, after I read it, what are your expectations of principals? Is it a percent increase? You know, I mean, that's because you talk about that measurable thing, and it's different for every building, and there's different areas in that goal for every building as well.
But is it okay to require your principals to have that?
Well, I think you have to have some expectations. You have to have expectations that, you know, like if you attained 65% this year, you better at least attain 65 and hopefully more next year because you're getting better at using high quality student data and all that kind of stuff.
The difference is that in terms of Diane's role, she has all of these different individuals that are all headed to different targets. And so if you try to say, overall, you know, it's going to be this number or it's going to be this number. Now, what Diane has done in the past is given us data to support that we are making progress and that mm-hmm. we are advancing. Mm-hmm. But we as a board have not, to this point anyway, said, here's a number we're going to hold you to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, it was, like I said at the beginning, her goals were kind of foggy until I started thinking about all the moving parts and pieces. And so it needs to be general, because the more specific you try to get, the further you're getting away from a general goal statement. And I don't know if that makes sense or not.
I understand a specific, measurable, attainable that framework. My number one concern was really taking our strategic plan, kind of the bones of it, mm-hmm. and then putting it here, all right, goals. So you have, I mean, that kind of going in the house, right? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. That's how I picture it mentally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That these will line up under these objectives. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if we just move 1% in that direction, because mm-hmm. we're focusing on moving 20% on this goal, that mm-hmm. direction. I don't care, right. but I want to know, I can say we have the strategic plan, we're actually doing something with it, because a lot of times mm-hmm. organizations
right.
come up
right.
with strategic plans and then
right.
it just sits on the table
right.
and collects
right.
dust. Now, I want to say no, as a board, not only did we accept and approve strategic plan, mm-hmm. but we know exactly how. Mm-hmm. And then what I think it is important for the goals to have something. I understand buildings are going to have their building specific mm-hmm. goals, mm-hmm. but the purpose of building specific goals mm-hmm. is to have that district score, the district scores, the district achievements
right.
to improve too, right? Mm-hmm. So we have all the kids matter. Mm-hmm. That's buildings. Mm-hmm. We have different strategies heading in the same direction. And that's how I think that's what our strategic plan says. Mm-hmm. We do evaluate, you know, our treasurer and superintendent on these goals that we're discussing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something that I do agree. How do I measure?
Right.
I don't know that question. I don't know the answer to that question, but how do we measure
mm-hmm. Right.
based on what we say, all right, here.
Well, the last line may address that. She writes in her goals that pre- and post-process outcomes will be monitored quarterly with principals, and that information will be shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're going to know where the student started and where they are at the end of the first quarter, and where they are at the end of the second quarter, and so forth as we go through the year. And we then sit and we can look at and say, as you know, are the numbers for each building moving in the right direction? Are numbers for the district overall moving in the right direction? And so,
I remember last year with the goals, sometimes we were like, well, he's measurable, and with some of them, I said, okay, well, if something gets done, like the strategic plan, you know, it was finished, it was a positive, you know, we heard about the process and stuff, that goal was met. So some things have different kinds of measurables that yeah. may not be mm-hmm. percents, you know, so even like in that character development or something, you know, I think about like our invent to prevent opportunity, or just when there are different programs that our kids have an opportunity to be a part of, or again, the presentations or board notes, a lot of those things give us, in my opinion, information that supports the work that's being done. And even building visits too. So, you know, you see some of these things going on. Character, I think about like the happy buttons at the high school, or pictures on the wall, and the support from the National Guard. I think there's a lot of different ways that you can find evidence that support them. And if you have ideas about how to make measurable,
character to me is something of interest, because I think if he's in athletics, right?
School
has a reputation of
right.
people with respect, and that's mm-hmm. easy.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know, like, every person, you know, mm-hmm. from a district-wide?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go on a tangent here, but that's something of interest. I mean, you can't measure character necessarily,
right?
But you know when you don't have it,
right?
But that's yeah. when it's too late, right?
Hey, yeah. our pit won, you know, for yeah. being like the best pit or something,
but,
you know, things like that, and other people from visiting schools would say, God, your kids are amazing. Your kids
I
are
think
amazing.
Character can be measured. Okay, because the PIT,
mm-hmm.
We've gotten letters, our
yes,
athletic department
from other
has
parents,
gotten letters,
visiting parents.
From visiting parents, but also, I know it was last year, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. we had a away game, and
yeah.
they went and they had a bunch of corn stalks and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff mm-hmm. that they used in the cheering section. And when the game was over, the students went through and cleaned the entire bleachers
mm-hmm.
of everything, picked up mm-hmm. all of the stuff and put it away, and the athletic director, I think, sent our athletics, says, you know, your kids were just absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can measure, but not necessarily
with
a score, but just
you have
when
evidence.
You see exactly.
You have evidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, if you have this objective, and so mm-hmm. from a district-wide superintendent goals, how do we reach that objective? Or what like, for instance, like engagement, parent engagement, we have the dogs program, which I applaud, but I think we also need to somehow incorporate our moms into something. I mean, our moms are involved, but like, I don't want it to be.
Well, I mean, a lot of them are in there. Maybe they just didn't need a name or something.
No, I just don't want our I don't want our goals to be like, I understand you have to build this dog, and it's going to be hard to get male participation in schools. I get that. Like, it's going to be hard for me to do it. I'm here in the meetings tonight, right?
Right, so
like, but I think knowing that that's a defined goal, like, we can know, did the program actually, was it implemented, was it successful? I want to see a little bit broader with how do we reach out and bring females involved, moms involved. Anyway, I'm not going to go down with my tangents. I just wanted to, that's kind of, I wanted to give that visualization, how I look at the strategic plan and how we develop, because we're going to come back 6 months from now. How, all right, let's evaluate. Are we on the right track?
Right.
I need to know, how do we evaluate those? So, and I think we've got some conversation about that.
I agree.
For me.
I agree. Any comments?
No, I just cautioned you because I did bid business planning for Honda, so I know what you're talking about. And this is much more squishy. But and a lot of the evidence is kind of anecdotal. Here's an example of this happening in this school, and that shows character. Or this is happening in this school, and that shows how we've improved safety. So as the year goes through, and some of it comes out of those monthly reports, and some of it comes from information directly from Diane or presentations. But a lot of the evidence is more anecdotal than
hard, fast numbers. Okay. Good conversations. Thank you. Okay, so now for the as we wrap things up, I wasn't quite sure that we would have enough time to really finalize our work plan for this coming year, but I thought we could give it a go and at least get started, and maybe start off by saying, first off, asking, do you like this format for a work plan, where we, you know, focus on the four goal areas and then have some objectives with a few action steps below? Or do you have another, you know, we could start from scratch? My ears are open.
So in the board plans, these are issues that the board's supposed to be focusing on, monitoring or working that board plan, right? Does it have to be as extensive as that document, or could it be, these are the three areas we're going to focus on this year?
Yes, it could, yes.
And be whatever we want.
In the previous years, what's been more impactful?
Because
I don't want to just copy and paste.
I know.
Again, different people take different interests. Like,
yes,
Sue's background is finance. She loves finance. Give her a 5-year forecast. It's like heaven. Okay. I hate it. I don't even balance my checkbook. Okay.
I round it.
Close enough, right? Close enough.
So it just, she's super interested in that. Now, I have to show a base level of interest and knowledge, and it's actually something I work on because I don't enjoy it. But, you know, things about academic programs, literacy programs, I love that. Okay, I love what's going on with the social studies programs, what's going on with the reading programs, you know, even science. That's what I'm really interested in. So that's where I kind of my focus is. But I also have passing interest in what's going on in the political stuff. So, you know, Dick will be kind enough to say, hey, you know, come along. And then, you know, in different areas, I think we all need to, you know, stretch out for public community activities. So being seen and being available and trying to develop relationships with different members of the community, build relationships. It sometimes takes a long time to get people to kind of tell you something.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That
not for Bill, but he's got his buddies that love to tell him
that
things.
Level of trust that I can tell you something and you're not going to, you know, impact me negatively.
Right.
So I think that takes time.
Yeah, and I'll say that this format works for me, and I kind of like the fact that we've got the four areas of student performance, finance, safety, and community
partnerships.
And the fact that we have four doesn't mean that we're going to be really active in all of those. We might be, I think this past year, we were really looking at student safety and student achievement. And the other two areas, we probably were not as active or as focused on. So, but I think as a board, we need to have, you know, at least try to address all of those things, you know, the community, student safety, student achievement, and the finance, because I think those are generally board responsibilities.
And they may not need to have, five, you know, three objectives and four.
Yeah. We've eliminated objectives entirely.
Yes.
And we've added, depending on the circumstances that we were facing at the beginning of the year.
So where does the job readiness fall under that?
Job readiness?
Yeah.
Under the, to me, that's academics.
Okay.
Student learning.
Student learning.
So I think maybe if you think about the strategic plan, you know, if there are, and obviously Letty, I mean, I feel like the Letty's got to be a big part of our work plan this coming year. But then if there are other things in here that just really jump out at you and say, yeah, I think this is an area where the board can be really supportive, have a positive impact, that we want, that's what we want to focus on. You know, if there's things that jump out at you, then we could make that the highlight of our work plan. We should make that the highlight of our work plan.
And if there are things in here that we aren't going to be emphasized, that we're not interested in doing, we just get rid of them.
But I, you know, if you look at job readiness, which I think right now we're, the district as a whole is at the forefront. But I think we could get past in less than a year if we don't
stay active and really,
I think it's a national trend. People are not interested in sending their kid to school with $500,000 in debt. I was talking to a doctor today, two of them, in fact. No problems.
Good.
Kind of friends you have. Kind of friends you got.
Yeah. And, you know, and they're talking about their kids coming out with $500,000 worth of debt for just tuition, you know, and then having to buy into a practice at $1 million. Nobody wants
insurance.
To do that anymore. And it's going to become less and less. And so, you know, we've got to have some things out there for those kids at an early age for that, some goals for them to say, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. Doesn't mean they're not going to be a doctor or whatever.
Right.
But the educational system is going to have to solve this cost issue, you know.
So,
somehow.
You know, under the academics, student achievement, we can have a goal, objective B or objective C, to enhance, whatever.
With that, can we
support and promote? Support and promote.
We're talking about partnerships and businesses.
Right.
Those are going to sell our levy.
Right.
And no question about it, because those people are coming in and they're saying, yeah, we want to start an internship.
Sure.
And because we don't have anybody out here working for us. Mm-hmm. And I hear that every...
Bless you.
That's rain. Every day.
I think so. That's what I thought so, too. Yeah.
He's back there. Yeah. But the fact that we have internships and that we have so many community partnerships, you know, in the elementary buildings and so forth, gives me a lot of hope that we will be able to get a good message out to the public and resolve a lot of things.
And I think the increasing number of certifications we are able to give through testing, like national testing. There's quite a few kids graduating with several certifications, welding, robotics, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question? Our strategic plan, I'm trying to understand, I guess, the role of the board with the strategic plan, because a lot of the stuff we don't do.
Right, right.
We make decisions only based off of the superintendent treasurer.
Right.
So
right.
We have a work plan. What is the purpose of the board work plan? And my second question, I've been struggling to find the answer to this.
Okay.
How do I add value as an individual to this collective board? Like, what can I bring to, like, that's the thing that, I think it's part of the work plan, right? Because I envision we have a work plan and maybe we all can't be experts at everything, right?
Right.
That's what Nan kind of referenced to.
Right.
So then what, how does that complement the members of the board and the value and what they, maybe I could just focus on this. I'm not saying I would limit my focus because if things are on the table to vote on, I have to be knowledgeable about, but I could be working, quote unquote, as a board member through the work plan.
Yeah. And I think even though you may have a specific area that you're focused on more, in my mind, the best way that you can serve the board is to try and have that general overview of things and asking questions to make sure you understand why things are happening the way they are, or if you've got concerns, sharing those. To me, that's being a good board member, because it helps, to follow through. But as far as actual, like, action stuff, that's the biggest challenge. It's like, we're really, I'm not, like, you look in here, support, promote, oversee, stay informed. Those are our actions.
Yeah. Yours for learning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
It takes learning what personalized learning is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does it, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's even something I could use a refresher on, since it's always evolving a little bit.
Yeah.
What is personalized learning? What does it look like in second grade? And what does it look like in middle school? And what does it look like in high school?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with college credit? How many kids are taking Columbus State classes when they're in high school? Large number of kids are, there's a few getting their two-year degree before they graduate, but there's a large number of kids that are getting 20-30 college credits before they leave high school. You know, talk about free college education. Well, you're getting a free two-year degree at zero cost.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with the internship program? What's going on with community outreach? I mean, there's a ton of things going on that you can learn about. And it just takes a little bit of time, and it takes a little bit of patience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, and people are more than willing. What's going on with special education? What's going on with special education here in Marysville is kind of incredible. And I really don't want to talk about it too loud because people move from all over the state to live in this community to take advantage of our special education programs. You know?
Yeah. I think part of it is being the cheerleader. You know, we've got 500 or more people that are working their rear ends off trying to do the best they can for the kids in our community. And a big part of what I think a board member does is pats them on the back, you know, speaks positively about them, takes the opportunity, if it presents itself, to recognize success, to recognize excellence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we have a board meeting and we're inviting these teachers, these students, these to come in and be recognized and get a certificate from the board and so forth, those kinds of things. But, you know, to support and to promote and to oversee, you know, I'll go back, you know, we hire two people and we vote on policy. And so trying to make sure that we stay in that area, mm-hmm. and that we oversee, we ask good questions, we ask thoughtful questions, mm-hmm. and we approach things trying to encourage others to be successful.
I think it's also developing relationships and that trust, you know? I mean, so because when you look at these and say support, promote, you're like, okay, all you're doing is patting people on the back all the time, and that's not the case, you know? Mm. But if you've, like Dick and I, and man, we've been on the board for a while, and we've developed good relationships, and we've seen how things have worked, and I think that's given us a sense of trust. So even tonight when I asked Diane about, you know, that one goal, well, why don't you have something in there? Well, we're already working on it, you know. If you want it to put in there, I will. Well, I think you should, for your own sake, you know. But I know that there's a lot of things going on in the back. I mean, I have confidence. I shouldn't say I know. I feel very confident that a lot of things are going on, are happening that are supposed to be happening. But I think that's something as a board member you work on. How do you develop that trust so that you feel like when you go to vote on things, you feel confident, even though you're never going to be able to know all of the details behind something, you know, because that's not really. That would be counterproductive for our superintendent and treasurer to have to explain every single detail to the point where you would feel 100% confident on something. That's just, you know, I guess so maybe that's part of that board member just learning things and talking to other board members to see, what do you do? And, oh, you have the same questions that I had, or you had the similar experiences, and how did you work through that and everything? So just kind of trying to get to that comfort level and that understanding of how difficult it is to not be able to jump in there and fix something when you think you have a good idea, or, you know, something
did
like that.
Did you use a problem solver analogy?
No, not really.
So
yeah, we're not the problem solver.
Yeah. We're not the problem solver, but I bet you every one of us in this room thinks of themselves as a problem solver.
Right.
And it's very difficult to kind of pull yourself back from that role and realize that's not your role.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to see Bill as a cheerleader. Yeah. That's a bad image.
Yeah. But I think if you take the time to read and to research and to be in a position to ask good questions, to be able to speak at the board meetings with a degree of confidence that you're being honest and forthright in terms of what you're telling the community. And then, as we go through this coming year, we all will have opportunities to speak with groups and organizations, and so that our support of academics will be that when we talk about our school districts, we make a point of saying our students are learning and they are achieving at a very high level, and it doesn't matter whether they have a little bit of ability or a great deal of ability. Both of those students are achieving at a very high level for them because we've personalized their learning opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we're challenging them at the levels where they need to be challenged. So, again, it's this is foggy. You know, our work plan is really foggy, but it becomes then the little things that we do, going to a meeting, talking to somebody. You know, for me, I like to sit and talk with the legislators and challenge them. You know, are you going to vote along with your caucus, or are you going to vote in support of the issues, on the side of the issues that will help your local school districts? You know, that's what I enjoy doing. So I guess that's it. I think it's
the same. When we're looking at the work plan, mm-hmm. I definitely see us. It's financial security.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I say security, but stability.
No,
right.
These are the things
so
I
levy,
really
kind of levy financial security.
Well, even
yeah,
more
than the levy,
too,
right.
Mm-hmm.
With growth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, right? Just you have to make sure that's
yes.
You know, that's number one. I think parent engagement. I know we talk a lot about businesses, but I think maybe as board members we could maybe strategize a little bit more about how we engage our parents,
mm-hmm.
and then staff retention. And those are my three. I mean, I think. I know I'm probably eating my words here because we talked about the superintendent treasurer's goals and how I'm taking this structure, the skeleton of the street plan, and adding goals here. But I also think, you know, we are public facing, and so if someone asks you, hey, what's the board working on? Three is a good number. Like these are our top three priorities for this
mm-hmm.
year.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy, it's digestible. Rather than giving them this document, I think the document's a little bit. Maybe it could be just not as digestible.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I may be hypocritical here, but
yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like our board plan should be very focused.
Yeah.
These are the three highlights, the mm-hmm. things that we're looking at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And employee is financial. I mean, it's,
and I agree with you, and I think that this, for me, this document can do exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. Now, it's got four areas, okay? But within those four areas, you know, the financial stability.
Well, I forgot about school safety. I think we're going to
yeah.
make some improvements
yeah.
there.
Right. And so I want our work plan for me, this is for us. This isn't for anybody else. Okay. This is our document of what we are, you know, going to focus on for the year. And we're going to focus on all of these areas, but we're going to be more focused on some because of the timing. Right now, we got to get a levy passed. So that becomes maybe the area in which we spend the most time. Now, that can be number two or number three. For me, it doesn't have to be number one because I know where it falls in terms of what we're doing. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that we need to have specific areas that we really want to work hard on this year. But I think also we need a document that makes sure that we cover all the areas of our responsibility. So community engagement, finance, safety, and academics. I think for me fits that.
I would say though, I think it's for more than just us though too. We put it on the website, and I think as elected officials, it's important that our community knows what we're focused on. And so I like the idea of maybe paring this down a bit,
mm-hmm.
and finding
no
those
problem.
Areas that we really want to focus on the most, you know.
I don't think you'll ever have a community member walk up to you and ask you what the three most important things the board's working on, or what they're working on. What they're going to do is walk up to you and say, why the hell?
Right. And I think you have to tell me, like, what are we working on? I mean, that's like,
yeah.
it's, we're really not working on stuff. I mean, we you know what I mean?
Like, no,
actions,
anyway.
Like, I don't know.
It's more about the priorities of the board.
Right.
Like, here's what the board's focusing on this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so my conversation is not about the average person walking on the street.
Yeah.
It's about when we go and say, and the ambassadors of the district at a meeting, and someone says, hey, well, tell me about the school district.
Yes.
Well, the board, school district has, administration has a strategic plan, moving on. This is what the board, your board's focusing on. Mm-hmm. These three things. These, you know, four
things. Well, that's something that we can sit down and pick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We can pick that, because I think it's a good bite to have, to share, whether we want to share it on social media or we want to share it, you know, in when we're talking to people at different conferences. So 4 years, our bite was, we're working on personalized learning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
right.
So for about
personalized learning,
a good,
mastery learning.
Yeah, a good.
Mm-hmm. And now social emotional stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna suggest that we start with what we did last year, and that we each kind of go through it, highlight the things that we like, add things that we think need to be added, and whatever, and then come back.
Okay.
And we'll have something at that time maybe where we can have been a bit more thoughtful in terms of what we want to present.
Okay. And I would also say, though, I think it's important that we take into account the goals of our treasurer and superintendent. And the strategic plan, obviously, you know, but we want to make sure that we're aligned with those things too.
I think we are. I mean,
I think so.
Are.
I think so as well.
It's
I'm just making that reminder, you know. Yeah. So, and we don't. I mean, we don't have to keep this exact same format, you know. But maybe, it's not a bad idea to just say okay.
You use it as at least as a starting point to see where the goals were and whether they still make sense or not.
Right. And I, like when you asked about the purpose, for me, some part of this was a reminder for myself. What should I be doing? You know, so every once in a while you kind of look at it and like, oh, yeah, we said we wanted to focus on this. Have we really been doing that or not? You know, so.
I do like the goals about professional development, and that's kind of covered. That's kind of the code about that. I mean, that's.
Right.
Yeah.
So something maybe there.
I know it covers a lot about that.
I'm just going to have a couple quick little comments then here at the end. So our homework then is for us to go through this, mark it up, and then we'll come back. It's going to have to be sometime in September. Maybe we can try and do it early September. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe early September with the goal of maybe having something to approve at our September board meeting. We'll see. That might be too aggressive.
Yeah.
But I don't want to rush it. But
I'm going to be back on the 24th.
Of August.
Okay.
All right. And then just some other reminders, a community coffee this Sunday. Not sure. I know Dick's going to be out of town.
I can do it.
Okay.
I think I can.
Okay.
That's get back up whatever. But if you want it, you can.
Okay.
I should attend Salt Lake forever, but we can talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Just text me. It's at 2, it's Sunday from 2 to 3 at the library.
Yep.
Do you like those flyers, the social media things, or are those helpful? Or,
I
did go out today on Monday, so that helped.
Okay.
I think last time it went out.
Right.
The email came out this afternoon.
Yes. Central Region is having a legislative open house at Tolles Technical Center August 23rd. It's open, it's free, but you do have to register. So I'm on the Central Region Executive Committee. I'm pretty sure I have registered. They've got like a social hour from 6:30 to 7, and then there's going to be a program from 7 to 8.
What are they covering?
It's a legislative open house.
Oh.
So I'm guessing, I don't know if you've ever, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think some legislators
sometimes they'll have a legislator or two there.
Right.
Sometimes it's people that are running for office.
Okay.
And they're coming in and talking to
board members, whatever. Okay.
Trying to get some support.
Okay. I know Kim Miller Smith is encouraging all of the Central Region Executive Committee members to be there if they can, and to bring some other board members with them. So, if nothing else, it could be a networking opportunity.
When is that?
August 23rd, 6:30. Well, you just need to be there for sure by 7 p.m. Nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then reminded that convocation is this coming Monday at the stadium.
What's the expectation?
If you are available, you can go. It's really
what's
in the past.
Expectation,
so in the past, they've had it inside at the high school, and they would have stations set up for teachers with different information. You know, unions would have station and insurance, all that kind of stuff. And the administrative staff made breakfast for them. And then I just do a little welcome, and Diane would have a video or something, or she would speak. They would introduce new staff members.
Do you need help hand out the breakfast? Is it like a buffet? It's not like a...
Mm-hmm. No,
here's your dish.
Right,
here's a
right, yeah. Any board member who went, it's just an opportunity to walk around and say hello to teachers, how's your summer, things like that. But this year, I think they're having it at the stadium, and Bruce Daniels is going to speak, and Chris Schmick is going to speak. So I asked to go first. So I don't want to go after Bruce or Chris.
Yeah, I have a few words.
it's a little bit. I always looked at the convocation and my attendance in the convocation in the same light as buying a lottery ticket. That my chances of making an influence or winning the lottery only slightly reduced by not buying a ticket.
Okay.
So you're not a mega billion winner?
Yeah. So if you're available, it's just an opportunity really to mingle and stuff.
What time does it start?
I think it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'll ask Diane to confirm with us.
That sounds about right.
Okay, and then the last thing is, well, we're going to have our agenda meeting this Wednesday. Nan and I will be at the agenda meeting if there's anything. Oh, and I'm
just
hoping that we're going to have that teen prevention.
I'll follow with Nancy because... Sometimes we go weeks without communicating,
yes.
So shoot your email.
Okay.
Is that open? Is it available?
Well, let me double check with Diane, because I know we had talked about it, and we were talked about doing it last month, and then they didn't make the connection, so we were planning to do it this month. But there's also going to be something on there for OSBA, the Capitol Conference, where we need to have the business meeting delegate. We have to have that done by September 15th, so that's going to be on the agenda. So if you're interested in being the business meeting delegate, you know.
Is there someone who's served that before?
Yeah.
I've done it. Nan's done it. Dick's done it. We've all done it.
Yeah. So what it involves is the draft platform for the Ohio School Board Association is given to you. And then it has all the highlighted versions. And then you have to vote on specific things.
It's like a legislative platform.
Like if they want to add something into the platform.
Or change wording.
Yes.
For
there's a lot of standing ups. You can't stand it.
Right.
Yeah. If you are the business delegate, it's kind of nice to highlight what those. Or at least, you know, remind board members, take a look at these. If we want to talk about it at a board meeting in October, we can, so that we had any concerns about something, that it's really not been an issue.
Sometimes there's an issue that's a real hot button.
Mm-hmm. Last year there was some contentious issues there.
And the thing that they wanted to add in was voted down. Actually, two things that they wanted to put in. Mm-hmm.
It's about representation and how they came up with the delegates for Ohio School Board Association.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was like size of districts versus areas of the state and everything, and they had a lot of conversation.
There was
social emotional inclusion language or something. And so the big cities were all in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Northwest, Southeast was not. It got heated. And so you can sit there and listen to people get up and rant for long period of time sometimes.
So it's like a convention, like I'm the American Legion Convention,
yeah.
Stuff like you're voting. So
that is usually, usually it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
They always schedule it at
Monday,
the end
Tuesday
of the day
afternoon.
So that there's no end to the meeting until they're done. So.
Yeah. But it's during Capitol Conference.
Okay.
So it's during the day.
I need to get on my calendar, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I wanted to give you those things, and then I think the only I was just noticing in the school management news, I thought they had a couple of good articles here recently. Well, this was one article that talked about gathering your herd. So to me, this was a good reminder about the role of the board and stuff, and want to help your board become competent, collaborative, and committed, then start by gathering your herd. And it just talks about kind of uses the analogy of we're focusing on the ranch, not the corral. It says the boards need to remember their role and focus on the 30,000-foot perspective. We need to stay in our lanes, build trust and respect. And then, I don't know. So if you did not read this, this was the school management news, the July 2022 school management news from OSBA, which I think we all get that. But anyways. Just wanted to bring that up. Okay.
I just had a comment.
Yes.
We got the quarterly district information in the mail.
Right.
And I just had a thought, because I know it's from, like, you have Diane, the treasurer. And
yes.
I know that space is limited, right?
Yeah.
Has the board, like the president of the board, ever put something in there to kind of speak from the board? Because I think it's a good publication that's going out.
Yeah.
If it's from the president of the board, it's not. There's no way it can be political, right? Like, can't.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure I can say no.
But no, but I'm saying,
just kidding, just kidding.
It's a message from the board. It's a formal message from the board. So there's no question about, we're piloting this person or that person.
Right.
I thought it's a. I always thought the school district did a great job with proactively communicating with the district, sending those quarterly mailers on. I think every form of government or county should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's expensive and it's worth it, but
that's
just something I thought we have.
Just have a little message from the board.
I know it doesn't have to be very extensive, but just something, is that a good platform to communicate?
I guess we would just have to, whatever went in there, I think, would have to be agreed upon in an open meeting that this is what we want to have in there. So, I can't really, I don't speak for the board.
Unless the board takes action.
Right, yes.
I thought it could be just doing a few highlights of what the board has done.
I could highlight, maybe the training that we've done, or, our entire board attended the fall conference. And
I just want to throw this out here
to
see if that's something that we're interested in. Or the communication is clearly to all the residents.
We put that in our strategic plan. Or in our
it
work
is a
plan, communication thing. That that would be a way to do that.
It's probably better than the video.
And I guess the one I think about. I think highlighting training, or if there's been recognition of board members, things like that, or
just
or our work plan.
I think it would be a perfect time to kind of connect what our board focus areas are with the strategic plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
So when the next one goes out, whenever that is. We'll have our work plan done.
Yeah.
And we can just have a link in there too. Say, go to the district website, check out this link to see what the board's focusing on this year.
Well, hopefully it's a digestible message for you.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Okay. Good idea.
Yeah.
I would take a motion now to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? Yes. Ms. Devine?
Before I say yes, I just want to thank everybody for excellent conversation tonight, for input, for coming prepared.